Bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we meditate upon your word, I pray our hearts and minds will be open and receptive to your holy word, that, Lord, you will speak the words you want us to hear, and help us, Lord, to hear these words of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The gospel text for today is found in John chapter 6, verses 52 through 65. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is the bread indeed, is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this saying, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father." These words were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. This would be a good communion Sunday message, because we talk about the blood and the bread of life. And if you know, when we have communion, we do the same thing Jesus did when he had the Last Supper. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he says, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." Then in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it and thanked God for it, he gave it to his disciples and he says, "Drink of it from it, all of you, for this is my blood shed for you for the new covenant, for the forgiveness of sins." And we do the same thing in communion. We believe that the wafer that we use with the word of God is the bread of life, or the body of Christ. And we believe that the element of the drinking of the wine or the grape juice is also with the word. It becomes the blood of Jesus Christ, and we drink his blood as he has told us to do in remembrance of him for the remission of sins. And so it tells us right from the beginning that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto God the Father except through me," because he is the bread of life, and he is the one that gives us not only the bread of life, but also that living water which the woman at the well had said to Jesus, "Give me of this water that I don't have to come back here and draw any more water." And she was looking at it from the physical angle, or the physical life. She was not looking at it from the spiritual life. And yet Jesus spent about 2 days in that particular area, and many of them believed on him and accepted him as the Messiah, the risen or the Lord God, sent by God down to earth to reconcile us back to God, so that the law of sin was broken. And it was through what Christ did on Calvary's cross that he broke this sin hold on mankind. And so we see this so very, very plainly in this particular scripture, as well as many others. Jesus had been teaching, and he had told them he was the good shepherd and the door to the sheepfold and so forth. And we know all of these things, and we've heard them speak so often. And then we see Satan is there taking and trying to tempt us and to make us think that we are still under the law of sin. And yet Christ has said in his crucifixion, he won that battle over sin and over Satan, and he won that battle that if we believe in him, he has given us the right to become the sons of God, and that we would be have eternal life forever with him. And we can see then that Jesus is the bread of life, and he is the one that has come, sent by God, onto the earth to live and to die for us. And so we see this so very plainly. And we see, too, in this particular portion of Scripture where Jesus says, most assuredly, in some scriptures it says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you. And they may carry a little more weight when we're reading it. It depends what version you're reading. But they tell you the same thing. It's of a truth. It's of a truth that Christ is telling the people, and he's telling them that you must receive me as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you don't, then you have not accepted the gift of God and what he has given you for salvation. And when he addressed the people, he told them very plainly that God sent me into the world, that God sent me here, and this plan of salvation was made long before the earth ever was made. And as we read in the Old Testament lesson, God made the heavens and stretched them out, and he took and he spread out the earth, and he gives each one of us the breath of life in which we can breathe and which we live, because he has done it all in his accord, and he has made it so we can live and breathe, and we can know, because we have the Spirit of God in us. That's our inner being. We are made to be able to make a decision of either to follow Christ or not to follow him. Those that do not follow him will find in eternity that they have been condemned to hell. Those that pretend they're following him will also find themselves in the same way. But those who truly give their lives to Christ and truly accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and they say, Lord, I want to serve you and to be your servant and to have you use me, whether it's in the home or at work or wherever it is, to show your love to those around me, and to be able to have that peace which only you can give, which passes all understanding, we can see then that those are the ones that will have the bread of life of Christ in them. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he says, I am the one that gives you the food of life, and I am the one that will give you spiritual life, and not only physical life, but the spiritual life for the hereafter. You see, God can take and separate our body, and this will happen in death. Our body goes to the grave. Our spirit goes either to heaven or to hell. There is no middle of the road, and there is no second chance or choice. How do you live today for Jesus Christ is how you will be rewarded, and you will be judged. Excuse me, upon how you live this life in the future life. We see that Jesus has told us that he is the bread of life. He is the living life, the living water. And all people who go to heaven will have their bodies renewed. And Paul says we don't know how they will be, but we know we'll all be changed and we'll become Christ-like. And Jesus says, I will write on you my new name and the name of the new Jerusalem and of my God and your God, and all former things will pass away and they will not be remembered anymore because everything will be made anew. And so we see that so very plainly. And if we were to go back into chapter 5 of John, and John really expresses this so very plainly, he says in verse 40 of chapter 5, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. And Jesus is telling the people, you want to live in this world and you want to live under the law of sin. And as long as you live under that law of sin, you will die under that law of sin. In James, it tells us that we will see things and we will start lusting after it, and then sin will be born. And as we proceed in that sinful nature, and when sin is fully grown and fully bloomed out, it will bring forth spiritual death. And that spiritual death is a death of the soul, and one which would be separated from God forever. Then we also go on and we see so very plainly too here that Jesus says, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. But if someone else comes in their own name, them you will receive. And it reminds me so much of how people will take and build up and want to make almost like an idol of certain people. I don't know how many of you have seen The American Sniper. It's a very gruesome movie, and it's not for the faint-hearted in any way. But we see that this man here, Kyle was his name, who had protected in Afghanistan American soldiers, and how he got in harm's way many times to protect them and to keep them alive. And all that he did, and he says, I am ready to stand before my Maker and give an account for every shell I shot. And we see this, and we don't know that he was a Christian or not, but we do know this, that he did save a lot of lives physically, but yet God was in control, helping him to do what he did, even if he didn't realize it. And God was watching over those whom he had protected and those that he had kept alive. And yet we turn around and we see a man come and kill him that was maybe depressed and very deeply depressed, and he takes and shoots him for whatever reason. And these things sound gruesome, and they are. But we have to realize that Satan is doing everything he can, whether it's in depression or whether it's in a person that knows what they're doing. He will try and use these people to fulfill, to destroy what God has made, and to fulfill that people would worship him instead of worshiping the true God. And Jesus has told us that we would be in trials and that we would have temptations, that we would be in tribulation, because the world belongs at this time to Satan. And Satan, when he rebelled, his angels were cast down to earth. Some of them are in prison, as I've said before, in the Euphrates River area, and they will be released in the end time, and they will swarm upon the world, and they will kill everybody who takes and worships Jesus Christ, and they will take and kill everybody that won't turn and worship the Antichrist. We've seen not so long ago, just a lady was telling how she had fled the ISIS regime. And in that ISIS regime, she was telling they had separated the men and the women in this one town. And they took the men and they set them in a room. And if they wouldn't turn to ISIS and follow the Islamic law, they were doused with water. They were tied on chairs. And then they took and run wires to them and electrocuted them in front of the women and everything. And they said they turned and they sold the women for their own good or what they wanted to use them for in a different part of the country. Took some of them over to Syria, they said, and they were selling them there as slaves and wives of other people. This is a religion or a ideology of Satan. It's one in which Satan will do everything he can, and he's showing he is not following the rules of God, and he's trying to destroy everything God made. If we look into our Old Testament lesson of how Moses had prayed and God gave them bread to eat and meat to eat, and yet when they got the meat, they were complaining, and God says, I've heard your complaints, and I will send you meat. And it says they were so hungry for it, they ate it, and they got sick because they didn't cook it. And they were eating it mostly raw because they were so hungry for meat. And yet they were not thankful for the manna that God sent them to survive them. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life, not as the manna that your fathers ate in the wilderness. They ate it and died. But if you eat of my bread, you will live forever. That's giving your heart and your life and your soul to Jesus Christ first off and in first place that he has in your life. And we see then, too, that Jesus says, I will give you that life if you believe in me. And then if we were to go into Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5, and it says, the Lord says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, and spread out the earth and that which comes from it, and who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit of those who walk on it. We see there that it is God Almighty that has given us life. It is God who has given us all that we have. It is God who will take care of us. And as we trust in him, regardless of what we got going in our lives, we can know we have the peace which passes all understanding, because God has told us that he will give us the peace, his peace, and not the peace of the world, but his peace is so much greater and so much better than what we could have there. And then he goes on and he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. And he's talking here and talking about Christ coming, and will lead you, and I will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and a light to the Gentiles. And we, if we were to look at the scriptural readings, we would be called Gentiles. And yet, because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, the time went out where the Gentiles says, we will accept Christ as our Messiah, and we will take and accept this because we believe what he has done. And it came into the Gentile nations, and they have accepted Christ. And today, we see that when the time of the Gentiles is ended, this is when we see that many of the Jews will come back to Christ, and they will realize that Jesus has come once. And we see, as we read stories about the missions in Israel and other places, more and more young people are coming to know Christ of the Jewish religion. And they are saying, yes, Jesus has come once and he's coming again. You see, when he comes a second time, he's not coming in love and peace. He's coming as a judge, and he's coming as one ruler of the world. And he will put down Satan completely, and he will rule the world himself in righteousness and in justice. And then it tells us that he came, as he came the first time, it was to show the people that were blinded by sin that they could have eternal life by accepting Jesus as their blood or as their bread and drink his blood as the living water that he has for them. Then he goes on, the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, and my praise I will not give to carved images. You know, I knew a family, and they've passed away now, but they used to make many trips to the Middle East and into China and Japan, and they loved their decor. And they would bring back a lot of these things, and they decorated their house. And you could look at some of these, and you would say, what is that? Oh, that's the sun shining, and how happy he is to be able to shine out. Do you realize that in some of these religions in the Far East, that is a worshiping idol, that they worship that God, the one that you have carved out? And so you're bringing back these idols from these foreign countries, and you're calling them decors and to decorate your home, and yet you're bringing those idols into your home, and you're telling people how wonderful they are in your house. Have you replaced then Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for you and for me? That as he shed his blood, it covers our sin. And when God looks at us, he sees us through Christ and through the blood of Jesus, which he shed on the cross for each one of us. And we see that so very plainly in so much of Scripture. And Jesus tells them in chapter 5, verse 47, he says, you would not believe what Moses wrote. How are you going to believe me? And Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And yet this is what the Jews would live by. And yet this is what, when we read it even, we've had people say, I can't believe they did this or had to do this or that. You see, God was trying to teach them that Christ was coming. And he tried to teach them that they could look forward in faith and righteousness like Abraham did. And it would be counted to them for righteousness, because they were waiting for the Lord Jesus to come and not put all kinds of laws on the books in which they wanted them to follow. And we see that so very plainly. In 1 John, it tells us, now he who keeps his commandments and abides in Christ and Christ in him, by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And also in Revelation, it tells us, in Romans, it tells us the same thing. It says that with your mouth you confess your belief in God and you believe in your heart that Jesus has been risen from the dead, you will be saved. But if you don't mean it and if you don't live for it every day, searching his word, that's where we get our living bread, is searching the word of Christ. That's where we get our living water, is searching and reading the Scripture and asking God to reveal to us more and more of his word and how he wants us to live day by day. And we can see that we will go forward and that we will see that God will take Jesus will take and confess us before God and the holy angels as we confess him here on earth before our fellow man. And yet Jesus says, if you deny me on earth before your fellow man, I will deny you before God and the holy angels. We see that we must have Jesus first in all that we say or do. We see that Christ has to be first, regardless of what comes upon us here on earth. That we're only here for a short time, and then eternity is forever. And in eternity, will we serve God or will we serve ourselves and end up in condemnation because we have separated ourselves from God? Let us take and make sure that we live for Christ, Let us make sure that we have Jesus first in our lives, and that he is the one that we worship, and that people would see him in us, either in word or deed, and that all that we have we realize is a gift from God, and that we don't worship the things of the physical nature, but we have Christ first in our heart and in our life, that we can say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And as we do this, we will find that the things on earth will grow strangely dim as we worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O Lord, to be not only your disciples, but that we will walk with you and that we will have you as our personal Lord and Savior. That as you ascended into heaven and as you call us out of this world, we too would be in heaven with you, because you are the one that saves us. You are the one that has given your life for us. And we thank you for that. Watch over us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Then at this time, I'll call on Sarah again.